Welcome to this edition of Rayner on Leadership. My name is Tom Rayner, and I am joined by Sam Rayner, the president of Revitalize Network, and also the leadership at Church Answers as well. We've got a treat for you today. We are going to be talking to Lisa Zevell, and just to let all you listeners know, I did ask her for the pronunciation ahead of time just to make sure that I got it right. And with my accent, I probably didn't get it exactly right, but it's going to be close enough. Lisa is the COO, Chief Operating Officer of Belay. And if you've ever listened to a Rayner on Leadership podcast, or if you've ever seen anything come from churchanswers.com, you have undoubtedly heard us talk about Belay. So before we even get into sponsorship, welcome, Lisa, to Rayner on Leadership. Thanks for taking time. Belay's got so many things going as COO. I know you have a lot on your plate. We're grateful for the minutes you're giving us.
Well, thank you for asking me to be here. Definitely humbled to join you and Sam.
Well, thank you. And after a few minutes with us, there will be no need for humility because we're sorely lacking. We always thank Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, our sponsor, has been our sponsor for many, many years. They are the seminary, the Great Commission Seminary, and they have over 40 different degree programs. The one we absolutely love is a 37-hour Master of Arts in Church Revitalization because it's in partnership with Church Answers and Revitalize Network. You've heard me say this many, many times on this podcast, but check out their Church Future Indicator. We've got their website there in the show notes, and we've got the link to the Church Future Indicator to help you know where your church may be going. And that's kind of the motto of Southeastern. Where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. Lisa, we had a little pre-roll information about you, just, but I want you to just kind of give your journey a little bit on what was EA Help and now Belay Network, which is a fascinating organization that has been featured in many publications, is just on the cutting edge in so many ways. So give us your journey for just a moment.
Sure, absolutely. So I joined Belay back when it was actually Miles Advisory Group. So I'm going to go even further than EA Help.
I didn't know that one.
Yes, yes. So when Brian and Miles started Miles Advisory Group back in December of 2010, they just really had a heart for helping entrepreneurs, business leaders, and church leaders. And Brian was working with his executive assistant virtually at the time and said, I think I can do this. So started it in December of 2010. I happened to be neighbors with Tricia Sortino, who is our COO currently, and she gave me a call and said, hey, I've got a great organization. Can you give us a couple hours? And then not long after that, I joined the team, and they rebranded to EA Help, as you mentioned, and at the same time had MAG Bookkeeping, which focused on bookkeeping for churches and nonprofits. We soon found out that the two were a little confusing because at the core of it, we were offering great services to both our for-profit and nonprofit businesses. And so a few years ago, we rebranded to be Belay, and happy to be here. I've become their COO most recently as of January of 2020. Before that, I was their CFO and worked in human resources, talent acquisition, legal, compliance, events. We throw some really great events. But here I sit today over operations and couldn't be more thrilled.
Before I throw a question to Sam, we also mentioned, I asked you, where do you live? And you said Atlanta, which I know is where some of the EA Help leadership is, not all of them, but some of them are. I said, so do y'all have a building now? And your response was?
No, we can't have a building. How can we sell something that we don't live every day?
Yeah, exactly right. You're all about virtual. You're all about virtual. Well, welcome again, Lisa. And Sam and I have several questions we want to ask you to help our listening audience.
Great.
Yeah, Lisa, thanks for joining us on the podcast. We absolutely love the concept, the business model that you guys have. Let's apply some of this to the church. How can church leaders lead their remote teams with trust? And why is that even an issue?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, like you said, it's important for all leaders to lead with trust. Pat Lencioni talks about it in Five Dysfunctions of a Team. You have to start with trust. It's the most important thing we can do for any teams as a leader. And I really think it starts with being vulnerable and transparent. The way that you can do that is just by letting your teams know what the expectations are and expecting them to deliver it. I don't think anybody shows up to work and doesn't want to perform well. And so I think it's key to kind of let them know that you trust them. Follow up on work. You have to inspect what you expect, but do it in such a way that's respectful and honoring. I think when it comes to our churches, it's just having great conversations around trust and letting them know what your stance is. That starts with communication, right? So you've got to start by saying, hey, I'd love for this deliverable to be done at this specific time. I might check up on you with it, but I know that you're going to do it well. And then just reaching them where they need to be reached most. And that's really dialing into what their communication style is.
We have had countless, and I mean countless questions come into Church Answers. And I say countless literal because I can't even estimate a number of, okay, we've gone through this pandemic. More and more churches are having to learn, even though we're getting on the other side of it right now, and we're going post-quarantine in many churches, but we're hearing again and again, what do church leaders do if they really want to make their team valued and to be seen? And take, for example, Lisa, on the screen right now, we've got you in Atlanta, we've got me in the Nashville area, we've got Amy in the Richmond area, we've got Kevin in Lexington, Kentucky, and we've got Sam in the Sarasota-Bradenton area. That is our team. And I don't know if I do a good job making them feel valued.
And just so you know, Dad, yes. It's Bradenton, Sarasota. Let's get the order right. Bradenton supersedes Sarasota.
Understand. And since I'm a member of the West Bradenton Church, I would embrace that.
There's a little bit of competition, and I need my dad to be on the right side.
I will be in the light sign. Thank you very much. So, you know, I don't know if this team, as I'm speaking, thinks I do a good job, and I'm not going to ask them, of making them feel valued and seen. But that's what I'm hearing from church leaders who, during this time of quarantine, said, how do I do this? Now, Belay's been doing this for a decade. What do you tell church leaders in particular?
Yeah, I would say ask great questions and then listen. So you have to be present.
That was a dad joke.
No. But you do have to be present with your team. And so you have to ask good questions. As any parent would know, you can't ask closed-end questions. You have to ask open-end questions, right? So tell me some things you loved about what we did on Sunday. Not just how do you think service went, and then it's done and over with. So I think asking good questions, really starting that dialogue with them, also make it fun. You know, if you have the opportunity to survey your team when you get on meetings like this, we happen to be using Zoom as our tool right now. Make it fun. We host weekly staff meetings at Belay, and our most recent one, we had everybody dress up in a tropical shirt of some kind. They might have showed up in sweatpants too. We didn't really care. But, you know, show up with a tropical shirt on and do one of those super fun backgrounds. And then we played games, you know, because they really want to know that we care about them, that we're investing in them. And having fun is part of our core values. And so we do that. I think we do that really, really well. And it's starting with one-on-one meetings. It's asking about how their family's doing. And when there's a crisis like which is happening now in our country, it's actually stopping to address it and not trying to ignore it. So specifically when the pandemic was happening, it was, how are you feeling today? Is there anything that we can do for you and your family? And I think that that goes across all industries and particularly for our church leaders. People are hurting and we need to embrace them and care for them.
Lisa has inspired me, team. Of course, we have others, and I will let them know as well. We're going to start doing virtual cornhole. I think that's what makes an organization sound. What do you think?
Kevin? They actually have it.
Yeah, I'm sure that exists. Dad, I just want to see you in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, I was thinking the Hawaiian thing wasn't going to work on our side of things.
Well, that's a very common sight where I live. So, I mean, I'd blend right in. I mean, it, you know, but Dad, it's just not your style.
I still have a never worn Hawaiian shirt in my closet given to me by Rick Warren.
Very nice.
You should have had an autograph of that and then just frame it on your wall. That'd be awesome.
We got to remember we're interviewing Lisa, but just to let you know, Rick Warren did autograph something of mine that was Sam has requested as a part of his inheritance.
Yes. And I don't know if I'm allowed to even share what that is. So I'm just going to leave that unsaid.
Well, we'll share it with Lisa after we go off the air because okay. it's not so inappropriate that you can give the background and talk about it. But if we just put it out there to our big listening audience, it might not be appropriate. But let's get back to the questions at hand. Sam, you got the next one.
Yeah. How can remote church leaders learn to embrace conflict? You're going to have tension. You're going to rub each other the wrong way. There's this phrase now, zoomed out. Like I'm just zoomed out. And virtual meetings are beneficial in many ways. And then there's some downsides as well. Conflict obviously happens both virtually and in person, but it's different when it's virtual. So what does that look like? How do we work through our issues in a virtual world?
Yeah, it's real easy to let the physical distance of being remote keep you from having courageous conversations, speaking with somebody. So I would just say, really think of remote work the same as you do as in-person work. If you have seen something zooming out, think about how you would embrace or talk to that person if you were in person, right? So maybe it's not appropriate to do it all together. You know, Tom, don't start calling Sam out here.
But maybe. He will. He is the king of inappropriate.
Okay. But you could say afterwards, hey, I noticed that we were on the Zoom meeting. Here at Bolay, we actually require your video to be on and off of mute. Because then you can't be in your bed and you can't be multitasking. It's really hard to do that. But you can say after the meeting, hey, I noticed that you really weren't engaged and I would like for you to be a part. This was important to us. So I think it's just getting comfortable with having hard conversations, getting comfortable with conflict, and really taking all those things that you would do in person and transforming them over to your remote team. What I would like to say, though, is that there is some loss of emotion that happens, whether you are on video or if you're in written communication. So just be mindful, especially if you're delivering really hard news that you yourself know that it would be kind of, you know, difficult to accept. Circle back around. I can't say it enough. With remote, you have to over communicate. Here at Belay, we thought we were good communicators. And really for 2020, we amped it up. And that's why we started to do those weekly staff meetings. We do a lot of video communication because what we understood is that some people liked to have written communication. Other people like to watch it and to hear it. And so we do both ways. And I think the same thing goes for conflict when you're talking about over communicate, deliver the news, and then check on that person. They don't have anybody else, and they may not have anybody else in their home, or they do, they might not want to share it with them. And so it's important to follow up and ask great questions with them and make sure they understand. I also suggest following that back up with some written communication in case you need it further on for your human resources department.
You know, that's the tip, just to have your video on is beneficial. And if you make that a rule as you're communicating virtually, you know, because I've had my staff meetings virtual at my church during the pandemic. I was glad to get back to in-person, but virtual worked really well for us. Mm-hmm. And if half the people are black screens, it's weird. It's just hard to communicate that way. So something even as simple as, hey, we're going to require people to have their video on is a really good tip. I know I talk with my hands and I talk a lot. So for me,
your hands, with your mouth, with your nose, with your ears, you talk.
I do. And I've always been this way. I'm an extrovert. So I tend to dominate conversations. That being said, I really like that tip. And I think that's a good tip. And if you've had trouble with your communication virtually, particularly with the church staff, having the video on is something that's very simple and just say, guys, we're going to require this. I think that's an excellent, excellent tip.
I, without dominating the conversation on my end, the introvert would say, I was leading an HOA meeting last night, the dreaded HOA meeting, and someone was talking and I had something to eat to my side over here. I didn't want them to see me go get the food and then start eating it. And so I clicked off video. It shows a photo of me, but that's it. And people started saying, where did you go? Because they hadn't been on the Zoom for some time. And I realized at the moment that when they didn't see me live on the video, that they thought I was actually gone. I love that tip. Mm-hmm. I actually love it. All right, Lisa, you have you've been really on the front end of Belay. And by the way, Google Belay and look at some of the articles that have been written about it. And incredibly entrepreneurial organization that has grown hockey stick growth for the last decade. And just we're really, really encouraged that Belay is one of our ministry partners. And we just hope that will continue indefinitely. But Lisa, you came to Belay on the front end. You indicated it was the Miles organization, whatever it was, and EA helped them Belay. Were you ever in a remote work situation before that 10 years ago?
I was, yeah. So I used to be in wealth management. And when my husband and I started our family, I really felt like God had called me home to be a mom. And so I kind of struggled for a first few months after I had my son. And the organization I was with at the time, I won't even tell you how long ago that was, because I'm pretty sure it was dial up. It was scary to even think about working from home. I was impressed. We did have laptops. But yeah, so I worked from home then and then transitioned full time into being a stay at home mom and then started really getting back in the workforce. So it was something I was very familiar with.
Okay, so you are the expert in this area. I mean, anybody that's done it 2 or 3 years is an expert, but you've got 10 plus years of being virtual. So remote leader, what's something that a remote leader often overlooks and that you've learned is an invaluable lesson? You've told us several already, but what are some of these lessons that remote leaders have learned?
Yeah, I would say celebrating each other. We get so focused on getting the work done that we really do forget the human aspect of it because we're not with each other all the time. And so I kind of spoke a little bit about the fun that we have here at Belay, but I really do think it's celebrating one another. Send an email back when someone lets you know that they've completed a project or done something good and celebrate them. We happen to use the languages of appreciation tool here at Belay, so we understand how people do like to be celebrated. If you've got that person who does not want to be acknowledged in a room full of people, it's good to know that, right? Maybe they like to be acknowledged privately.
Lisa, tell me that tool again. I don't know it.
Languages of appreciation.
Okay. I want to know how to affirm Sam and Kevin. Not that I don't affirm Amy, but I just want to make them feel really uncomfortable, the two guys.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're going to use the tool in this opposite use of intention is what you're saying.
with at least two of you, I'll continue to affirm Amy and Jana and some of the good kids at Church Answers, but for you two differently. Excuse me, Lisa, go on. You were saying about being overlooked.
Yeah. So I would just say, celebrate each other, celebrate small wins. You know, we have here also what we call frugal wows. And so we have a small budget that we set aside each month. And, in order to recognize our team members, our clients, prospects, our contractors in a way that is valuable to them. And so, frugal means it's small. It's pretty easy to send someone a big gift that costs a lot of money, but it takes creativity to send a frugal wow. So it could be anything up to about $25 in value. We sent team members their favorite candy bars. We've sent them movie tickets to go out with a friend or a spouse or another family member. So it's just all about celebration. Have fun, celebrate, be silly, be transparent. Team members really, really appreciate that when they're celebrated and recognized.
Sam?
So
there it is.
Yeah, sorry. I have a landline and it never, ever, ever rings. And it did. So I muted, I did what I wasn't supposed to do in a virtual meeting. I muted my mic and then forgot that I was muted. Lisa, just as we close out, you know, you'd mentioned you can't, there's no such thing as over-communication. Close out with some good tips there. Like what, you know, I know that I'm going to over-communicate just naturally because I talk a lot, but just because you talk a lot doesn't necessarily mean you're communicating well. There's the written form, you know, there's other ways to communicate. Expound upon that a little bit when you say over-communication.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's redundancy in your communication. I think we're all very familiar with email. So it's sending emails. It's making sure that they are clear and concise. It might mean sending a follow-up email to the one you're doing. Look and see if there's any instant messaging tools you can take advantage of. Slack is a great one. Perhaps GChat if you're on Google Suite. We also really leverage just messages, text messages with our team. We have group text messages that we send out to our leadership team or to our sales team. And then video. I mentioned we use Zoom. You can do a pre-recorded Zoom, or Loom is another great tool to send to your team. So we're finding that redundancy. It's happening all the time in addition to meetings. Of course, we love remote work, but we all know that there's nothing like getting in person as well. So if you're deciding to lead a fully remote team like Belay, then you also do want to get together in person and be very intentional about that time that you're getting into in person with them as well. So I would go back, say email, 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 redundancy on that, instant messaging, text messages, videos, video meetings, and then of course in person. Your team can never hear enough from you or see too much of you. So just remember that. If you think, oh my gosh, I just sent that out again, don't hesitate. They need to do it again. What you say and what they hear, there's always a little bit of it that gets lost. And so when you have that redundancy by saying something, following up with an email or following up with a video message, you're really hitting home exactly what your intent was. And there's less lost in translation.
This is invaluable information for our listening audience. Most of them are in church leadership, but we have a lot of them in other positions as well. I know that Belay has a lot to offer. Do you have something you'd like to share with our audience and something that we can put in the show notes to so everybody can get a taste of what Belay is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. We have two great resources that we'd like to share with your listeners today. If they want to visit belaysolutions.com/ when you're on leadership, we are offering the Culture Cure and also 13 ways to build a high performing remote team.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. And if you didn't catch the links, just look in your show notes. They are there and link onto that. I would encourage you to take advantage of those resources because everything that has come from Belay has been just high, high quality. And this is as well. Lisa, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Sam.
It's been good to be with you. And as always, give our best to the good folks at Belay as you communicate with them in virtual and other ways, because we appreciate them so much. I was just recently on Miles and Shannon's, Brian and Shannon's podcast. So I got to speak to them for just a moment. Mm-hmm. So that was good as well. So give them my best as well as everyone else. We are big fans of Belay and big promoters of Belay, and we'll continue to be.
Well, thank you. We're big fans of yours too, so we appreciate the partnership.
Thank you. Thank you always for joining us on Rainer on Leadership. Subscribe wherever you listen or wherever your favorite podcasting app is, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever. Join us always at churchanswers.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.